Welcome to Blogship Rebranded with your host, Rick Sherwood. Here, Rick shares his insights on life living, on how to keep things adaptable and interesting. What do you think? Interesting?
Well, Fiona's here. She's all over your desk, my desk, everybody's desk this morning. So
yeah, she's definitely keeping things interesting.
Yeah, she's supervising. She is all over it. So
anyway,
we're doing it the Fiona way. We're making it interesting. Oh, and there she goes.
Jumps right down.
Yeah.
If you want to reach us, you can find us on Facebook. We're Blogship Rebranded. You can email Rebecca at rstherapygroup.com. And you can give Rick a shout out at rick@rstherapygroup.com. And now, here's Rick.
Folks, we are going to start with Rick Dees and his cast of idiots. That is actually the name of the album. That is actually the name of the group. Came out in 1976. And we're going to just roll with it. Honest to God, folks. You know, anybody who is as old as I am, or close to it, or older, will have remembered that song being on the radio back in the 70s. And it is just a fun, funny song. You know, Donald Duck was, you know, hitting the charts. The world was a crazy place. We had all kinds of disturbances. We had all kinds of bad things going on in the world. We had an amazing, amazing time in the 70s, right? We had the OPEC energy crisis. We had fuel shortages throughout the United States and Canada. We had, you know, we were just finishing up the Vietnam War. We were really, truly, It was such an interesting time of crisis around the world. But the one thing that we also had, right? Because I remember air raid sirens being in London. Like, I remember, you know, driving around the city and they used to have air raid sirens. This was a time of nuclear fallout being taught to kids about, you know, where to go under desks. This was a time when the world was at crisis, just as it is today, but it was at crisis in a different way, and people were different. You know what was different? Holy jumping. Rick Dees and his cast of idiots. if that was actually put on an album today, there would be people who would be going, oh, that's so insulting, that's so wrong, that's so this, that's so, oh my God. We lived in a time, and I grew up, thank God, in a time when you were taught sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt me. And now we've gotten to this point where words are the huge, oh my good God, of the world that is going to destroy all of us, because holy Lord, we cannot have words, because the words that are going to come, they're going to just completely and absolutely destroy us. Friday, I was doing a session. And on Friday, I was doing a session, and this lady, a beautiful soul, struggling with some of the ridiculousness of our world today. And she brought up this term I had never heard. It's called microaggression. And when I heard it, I was like, what the hell is that? And it is a term that I gotta do what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna Google it. Because I was stunned. Because what she was telling me is that this is a regular offense that teachers and so on are running into problems with. Is so the example that she gave me was that what happened was a teacher in the course of talking about immigration, talking about where people come from and go to, and you know the mass immigrations that have occurred over the centuries. And again, this isn't new, folks. We've been doing this for a long time. And so this teacher asked an Asian student, and so historically, where are you from? And the Asian student became offended because that was racist. Okay, the teacher had asked other people, you know, English, Irish, Scottish, German, where is your history from? Got to the Asian student. The Asian student went, oh, microaggression. Mom and dad, come save me. Whatever happened to people teaching children, teaching people to actually discuss ideas and terms, and that everything is not horrible? Microaggression, according to what I can see, and I've Googled this thing on Friday, I Googled it, I Googled it again on Saturday, I looked it up in books on Sunday, I've done what I can do, and it is, quote-unquote, Chester Pierce in 1970 describes the insults, 1970, by the way, folks, but suddenly it is a big thing. So Rick Dees and the idiots somehow missed it. But what was found was, today. Because we're now in an age where we are looking for a reason and a way. And in 1970, it describes the insults and dismissals which are regularly witnessed inflicting towards African Americans. And now it has grown from that. So that was a phrase that this Chester Pierce in 1970 coined from Harvard. And what happened from there and how it grew is, again, it is an unintentional, folks. And yet people are being reprimanded. People are being, nobody is taking the time to teach. Nobody. Nobody is taking the time to go, wow, you know, this question that I'm being asked, is it an intended insult? No, we are just simply out there going, screw it, I heard it, it has to be an insult, has to be a slam, has to be about this, has to be about that. Why? Last fall, I was sitting at a restaurant, and the waitress, I'd been to this restaurant a couple times, I knew the waitress was going to Waterloo, and taking the same course as I had taken. And, you know, she was proud to tell me that a prof who I'd had, a prof who I admire and love, had been removed from the class. And the prof had been removed from the class, quote unquote, according to this lady, because she asked who was here from the Alphabet Mafia. So the prof is a sociologist. The prof is a person who wants to challenge you to think, wants to challenge your ideas. She's an amazing human being. Absolutely amazing human being. And so apparently everybody got up in arms, left, because how dare you refer to whatever group as the Alphabet Mafia? Well, you know what, folks? As I said to her, I said, why didn't you guys all take this opportunity to challenge why and how she used the words that she did? Why? Why not take, because this lady who I'm talking to wants to be a social worker. She wants to deal with people with mental health. Well, wait till you have people with mental health who are sitting there, you know, telling you how much of an asshole you are, how much they hate you, how much they want to see you burn in hell. Well, then what are you going to do? Are you going to call somebody to have that person removed? No, you're not. You're going to have to learn to deal with the fact that people are going to say and do things. And so as a parent, as an educator, as an anybody, why are we not teaching our children, teaching each other that, first of all, there's an old saying, old saying taught to me as a kid in the 70s, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt me. Why are we not teaching that same simple thing today? Because again, I see this with people all the time who become so incensed, so offended that they hold these grudges for years over some words. Like, oh my dear God, like that's what the person was intending to do? We are truly doing a disservice. And when I say a disservice, I mean a true, horrible, horrible disservice to people today. Because what we're not doing is we're not teaching them that, oh my good God, people are going to disagree with you. People are going to be ignorant. People are not going to understand. And every single human being alive is not going to know where you're coming from. It's just, it's an impossibility, folks. It is truly an impossibility. What do you think about this, Rebecca? What do you think about this whole idea? You're sitting there, you know, listening, and you know, I can see the wheels are spinning. And like I said, I was absolutely blown away that this thing called a microaggression is costing people jobs. Is because somebody is so easily offended when truly, like, you know, I'm standing in the line of my mother's visitation, and I just had like 7-8 inches of hair cut off me, so I did have much longer hair than I do at this moment in my life. But in January, my hair was quite long, and ironically, you know, people, oh my God, what's with the hair? What was I supposed to do? Was I supposed to, you know, throw myself on the floor and have a tantrum because somebody, you know, they intentionally made a statement, you know? And I had one cousin say to me, oh, what are you, ZZ Top? And I said, no, but hey, thanks. But it, again, because I grew up in a time when people were going to have opinions that disagreed with me. I was going to grow up, and I did, and I was going to have people who were going to say insulting things. Why do we have to throw ourselves on the ground now? Why do we have to every single time go, this is about racism?
It's getting to be pretty crazy. People can't even make comments, not intentional comments, but where our mindset is, it's everything is an attack.
Thank you. You're right. Everything is a absolute, and this shows it on the weekend. You know, I heard this on Friday, and I was like, this is such bullshit. Absolute, complete, ridiculous. We are not teaching about differences. We are not teaching about where people come from. We are not teaching that every single slight is not a slam, is not racist. It could be simply, oh my dear God, a curiosity. And so this teacher who asked this Asian kid was curious. Whether the Asian kid was, I remember, I went to university with this guy. His name was Ben. And Ben was adopted from, oh shoot, I want to say Korea, but I don't think it was Korea. Anyhow, the fact is, I remember, you know, Ben talking about what it taught him to understand and be proud of his heritage, both his heritage of birth and his heritage of his adoption to Canada. It taught him to be proud. It did not teach him to be ashamed, and it did not teach him to throw himself on the ground. It did not teach him anything other than to go and educate people. Educate. Educate through conversation. Sometimes you're trying to educate the stupid. Sometimes you're trying to educate the people who do not want to listen. That's right, folks. There's people out there that don't want to listen. My cousin who wanted to run my look into the ground. You know, why did I cut my hair off the other day? Well, I just felt like summer's coming. It's just like, you know, how many women will grow their hair long and then cut off their hair? Oh my God, you cut your hair. But nobody says, oh my God, you have such long hair. And when my cousin said it, I was like, I don't give a shit. Why? Because I don't care. I don't need to care. And I'm going to hear arrogant, stupid things, and it's not an attack. The last time I saw her, my hair was much shorter. And so in an awkward moment at a funeral, her awkwardness, that awkward feeling, what did that do? That turned into her going, oh my dear God, your hair. That's what that turned into. It was her moment of being awkward. And so in that moment of being awkward, then what?
Awkwardness came out.
What do you mean?
She made an awkward comment, which you took in stride. But somebody else could take that as a personal attack.
We're teaching kids it is a personal attack. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We're not asking people to go, hey, is this a teacher? Are we, oh my God, we're sitting in the classroom at a university and a professor is asking me a challenging question that's challenging my ideals. Wow, go figure that a prof is actually challenging you. Thank God I got an education from that woman, because again, thank God she was an amazing professor. And I don't know what the outcome of it was. But my God, she challenged. Isn't that what you're supposed to have and you're supposed to be challenged? But no, not today. No. We do not want anybody to be challenged today. If they don't hear what they want to hear, oh my dear God, we have to go out and throw ourselves on the ground, and we have to create calamity. Guess what, folks? You're going to hear stuff you don't want to hear. Welcome to the real world. And when you sit there and you teach your children and you go over and over and over that, hey, by the way, no, nobody can say that to you. What are you going to do when they get a job? Oh, that's right. We have an epidemic of late teens and 20s. We have an epidemic of people who can't go to school. We have an epidemic. Nobody wants to talk about it, but we do. We actually have an epidemic of people who cannot get up and go to school. We have an epidemic of people who can't go to work. Why? Because God forbid you hear something you don't want to hear, such as, oh, here's your failing grade because you didn't study. Well, that's not my fault. That's your fault. No, it's not. Grade 11 physics, folks, I failed it. 49.8% or something like that I got. Nobody said a single word to anybody about that. Nobody. I took the mark. I took a course through correspondence. I got my grade 12. Guess what, folks? I was a dick in that classroom. And that teacher that I had marked me hard, and he should have. I learned a lesson from that 49. And the lesson wasn't, oh my God, my feelings got hurt. Holy Lord. That is not what I learned. What I learned was, hey, we can do incredible things here. And we truly can. We're going to round out with this beautiful, beautiful song that, again, from an age when people talked, when an age when people did not expect the world to be sitting there making sure that your every feeling was taken care of perfectly. We grew up in an age when we understood and we were taught, oh my word, resilience. That's what we were taught, resilience. I had a welding teacher, name's John Durley. John's been gone for a number of years, but I remember John every once in a while, he would say to me about something about Sherwood Forest. I saw it as a redeeming thing. I saw it as a beautiful thing. I saw it as a connection. I don't know what his heritage was. Don't know. He asked me once what was mine. I said, well, with a name like Sherwood, I would think it's mostly English, but I'm sure I'm a bit of a Heinz 57. John laughed. And he made a joke about Robin Hood and Sherwood Forest. You know, folks, I want you to just think about this. This song is by a guy by the name of Carl Douglas. He has a first name, Carl, another typical first name, Douglas, as his name. He's talking about kung fu fighting. He's talking about all the cats in the house. He is a black guy, and he's talking about Asian fighting. Did anybody care? No. You know why? Because it's a damn good song. It's a funny song. It's a beautiful song. Yeah. I guess that means that we've wrapped up this Monday. So, folks, the last two Fridays, we've missed the roundtable. We've missed the roundtable because Sherry has been extremely busy with her real job doing an accreditation for a couple hospitals. And so we apologize sincerely for that. We have chatted about it over the weekend. For sure, this Friday's roundtable will be back. And so I, again, sincerely apologize for that. We should have done something in substitute, but we didn't. But then again, if we got a paycheck for this, maybe we could put more time in. Nah, that's me blaming somebody else. And you know what? We are not going to do that here at Black Sheep Rebranded. What we're going to do is we're simply going to take responsibility for the fact that we didn't do a roundtable the last 2 weeks. And it is not intended to be a microaggression against anybody. What it is intended to be is, guess what, folks? Shit happens. So do me a favor. Teach each other to talk. And that everything is not a slam. And you know what? You're beautiful as you are. So for Rebecca, for Sherry, for myself, here at Black Sheep Rebranded, and everybody around us who helps to support us and helps to encourage us, we wish everyone a wonderful Monday. And let's see how long it takes Rebecca to get this thing edited and up. It's 9:14. So let's see. How long does it take her? Is that a microaggression? No. That's two people who work together. Two people who get along. Two people who understand each other. And two people who are looking at each other. And so the look on her face was challenge accepted. Have a good one, people.